We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2 again in our study through 1 Peter chapter 2. But I'm going to mention again, we praise the Lord, we have insurance. Our insurance is with State Farm, has been for years. And to keep the premium lower, we had to go with a higher deductible. But in relation to what it's costing, a little over $37,000, that $5,000 doesn't seem quite so large. So we'll trust the Lord for that, but we're so thankful that it is covered. Some ask, well, our premium will probably go up. Well, I don't know. I guess we can not have insurance cover it, and then the premium wouldn't go up, right? But we'd be out $37,000. So, and also, I appreciate those of you that have suggestions on what we can do. Feel free to let us know of ideas you have. Like I say, we're looking into cameras and lights and fencing and things like that. So, guard dogs and so on. So, also, I don't know, hopefully you did not see the news report on Channel 12 of this, because I was interviewed on it. Just a quick story about that. A lady called me at 12:30 Wednesday, at noon 12:30, said, "I'm coming through McPherson. Could I stop at your church and do a story on what happened? I'll meet you at the church at 1. And I'm thinking, that's 30 minutes. Actually, it was 20 minutes later. And I'm going, "Blah, blah, blah, you're going to interview me?" So we did that. She was on her way from Hayes to Wichita and said, "Well, they called me and told me to call you." I said, "Well, how did you hear about it?" She said, "I don't know. I'm just supposed to come." So anyway, they covered it, and then it was on the news Wednesday, I think at 5, and I guess maybe at 6 as well. Also want to say, again, I'm going to embarrass Jackie again, but Jackie was saved shortly after we were, right? Roberta and I were saved in our home together in 1974. And you were saved, like, how soon after?
Less than a year.
Less than a year after, kind of through what God had done in our lives. And we were great friends, great hippie friends back then. And so anyway, I have fond memories of all that. Okay, I think that's all I have. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. We want to talk this morning about the victorious living shepherd. Verse 21, 1 Peter 2. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And then our text, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the risen shepherd and bishop of your souls." You say, "Well, my version doesn't say risen." Well, mine does. So there you go. And it's Easter after all, so it's appropriate that we add the risen, living shepherd and bishop of your souls. Well, would you join me in prayer? Let's stand together as we ask God's blessing on our time here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for the blessings of salvation, the wonderful, sure hope and guarantee of eternal life in heaven and eternity spent with Jesus Christ our Savior through faith in the message of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that our responsibility is to call upon the name of the Lord, and we shall be saved. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart we believe unto salvation, but with the mouth we confess that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, Lord. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. Help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach, Lord. I just want to try to honor you And I have needs, as we all do, and may they all be met in Christ. Just meet with us this morning. May your name be glorified. That's all that really matters this morning. That's all that matters throughout eternity. That's all that matters in each of our individual lives now, is that we honor you in all that we do, all that we say, all that we are. And may we be all that we can be for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we were as sheep going astray. Apart from our shepherd, we are just dumb sheep that wander hither and yon with no sense of direction, no purpose for the wandering other than to wander, and no hope of ever finding their way. We are like that without Christ. We were like that, and we are like that when we don't fix our spiritual eyes on our good shepherd. For ye were as sheep going astray, we see here. Here's also a reference to Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we'll turn there in a little bit. But the figure is plain, it's clear. We were like a flock without a shepherd, without a guide, without a leader. We had wandered far away from the true fold, and we were following our own paths. And we were without a protector, in and exposed to every kind of danger. And this expresses the condition of the whole human race before God recovers people, and praise God, I'm a recovering sinner, with a plan of salvation. A flock wandering without a shepherd, a conductor, or guide is in sorry condition. You don't want those sheep to be out on the hills without a shepherd, or at least that's what I'm told. I only grew up with cattle, not sheep. And so was man in his wanderings before he was sought out and brought back to the true fold by the great shepherd. A Scottish hymn writer named Horatius Monar wrote a song called I Was a Wandering Sheep back in the 1800s. It goes like this. I won't try to sing it. But it says, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my Savior's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. Did not love my Father's voice. I loved afar to roam. The shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me o'er vale and hill, o'er deserts waste and wild. They found me nigh to death, famished and faint and alone. They bound me with the bands of love. They saved the wandering one. Jesus, my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that still doth keep. I was a wandering sheep. I would not be controlled. But now I love my shepherd's voice. I love the fold. I was a wayward child. I once preferred to roam. But now I love my father's voice. I love his home. Can that be said of you as a wandering sheep that has been rescued by the Lord? We're more familiar with Savior like a shepherd, lead us much. We need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Well, the last time, last week when we met, we considered Christ who suffered for us, the Christ who suffered for us. And we have that outline again on the back of your bulletin, if that's handy. But we see that in verses 21 to 24 of 1 Peter 2. We see, first of all, the sinless sufferer. And what do we learn about the sinless sufferer, the Lord Jesus? Well, verse 22, he did no sin. Verse 23, he did not revile. Thirdly, he did not threaten, verse 23. When suffered, he threatened not. And then he did deliver himself over, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Secondly, he was our selfless substitute, verse 24. He bore our sins in his body. Therefore, we must live unto righteousness, because by his stripes, by his wounds, by the torture that they put upon him, we are healed. Today we come to number three, and that is, he is the victorious shepherd. And that's the extent of my outline. That says it all. He now is the victorious shepherd. Verse 25, for ye were, past tense, as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your very souls. Now, whatever this verse is teaching us, it must be very good. Because just notice the contrast. Ye were and now are. Ye were, are now. The difference is to be noted, and the difference, the contrast, is due totally to the work of our Savior. You had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with, I was, but now I am. I was headed for hell, but now I'm a child of God going to heaven. That's all Christ's work. But this is what you were. Now this is what you are, because you have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, but are now returned. But are now. I love the but nows of the Bible. Let me read six of them, six verses. You can jot them down, but don't try to turn to them. Romans 6:22, but now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Romans 7:6, but now we are delivered from the law. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are children of light. Walk as children of light. And 1 Peter 2:10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And he is now, right now, this moment, the shepherd of your soul. Do you feel it? Hey, well, I didn't even want to come this morning, you know. After all, it's cold and it's Easter and you sleep in. Well, we don't go by our feelings, do we? We go by facts, by doctrine, by the teaching of God's word. God says, you're his child, I'm your shepherd, then let's act like it. Let's live like it, and the feelings will come when God sees fit to give the feeling. But we don't go by feelings. But he's now the shepherd of your soul. It doesn't say that he was the shepherd, but that he is now presently your shepherd, because he is now alive, though he was dead. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Death couldn't keep the shepherd, because he rose from the dead, for he is a victorious shepherd. And because he lives and is victorious, we share in that victory. Therefore, we too shall live and be victorious. Do you feel victorious today? Oh, no, we don't go by feelings. You go by fact. The victory is yours and mine. I just have to claim it and appropriate it. Apprehend that for which I am apprehended. We will live and be victorious. In fact, we now have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, towards the end of the chapter, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, because of that victory through our living Savior, we are able to return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And thus, we got to return. You need to return to the shepherd. You who have wandered hither and yon, who knows where, remember, God has found you. God has found you every time. A Christian writer, Tim Challies wrote this: to say that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep is to humble ourselves, admitting what is true about us, and to elevate God, declaring what is true of him. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you are saying something that ought to move your heart in praise and gratitude. To declare that God is your shepherd is to praise and glorify him, because God the shepherd stoops down to care for the poor, lost, not so smart sheep like you and me. Now, Mr. Challey says sheep are not so smart. They're kind of dumb. Well, I guess they're dumb in the sense that they wander from the fold. But I came across this from a Puritan writer back in the 1600s, Thomas Watson, who said, sheep aren't stupid. Sheep are not stupid. So they've been getting a bad rap. Now, I'm stupid, you're stupid, but it may be sheep are smarter than you and me. He says, number one, sheep are innocent. Well, that's a good thing. Sheep are innocent. He says, sheep aren't harmful creatures. They're harmless and peaceful. Christians are, by their new nature, peaceful and peacemakers. They would rather suffer wrong than do wrong. You know, I got to thinking about the vandalism back here. Oh, what a mess. When I first walked around and looked at it, I go, wow, I never seen nothing like this. But then I got to thinking later, Terry, just praise the Lord, you weren't the one that did it. That it was done to you, to us. We weren't the perpetrators. You know, I think I saw Matthew Henry, I think, wrote something along that line a long time. When he got robbed by a thief, he said, I thank God for this and that, and then I thank God that I was the one robbed. I was not the robber. And so much to be thankful for. And so we'd rather suffer wrong than do wrong. Number two, sheep are meek. They are meek. Sheep are meek creatures who know their place and willingly submit. He goes on to say, let the shearer take its wool, it does not resist. If you strike a sheep, it does not snarl or fly in your face. All of Christ's sheep are meek-spirited. Well, we're supposed to be humble and meek. Number three, sheep are clean. They're clean. Sheep look for green pastures, and they search out clean waters and quiet waters. And Christ's sheep have been made clean. They're justified, sanctified, you and me. Watson describes them this way: though they are not perfectly holy, they are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. They will suffer anything rather than defile their conscience. Number four, sheep are useful. Are you and am I useful? Every part of a sheep is useful. Its meat, its wool, its skin are offered up for the good of others. In a similar way, the whole life of a believer is useful. We do good to others by our knowledge, counsel, example, prayers, and good works. We're useful to others. All of us are. Number five, sheep are content. A sheep will feed upon any pasture where you put it, Watson observes. Put sheep upon the bare common, and they are content. They feed upon the little. They pick up in fallow ground, a perfect emblem of true saints who are the sheep of Christ. Let God put them into whatever pasture they will, and they are content. We have learned in whatsoever state we are, therewith to be content. Number six, sheep are timid. They are timid. A sheep is timid or timorous. It is very fearful if any danger approaches. It is easily frightened by the wolf. Thus the saints of God, who are Christ's sheep, pass the time of their sojourning here in fear. They are fearful of provoking God, fearful of wounding their peace, fearful of temptation, fearful they should come short of heaven through sloth. Well, but then he closes by saying, but watch them flourish. Watch them flourish. Calling sheep dumb go on calling sheep dumb, and you will encourage foolishness in them and pride in yourself. Oh, anyway, so we won't call sheep dumb anymore, even though they seem to be dumb. Okay, for you were just sheep going astray, again, verse 25, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If you will, turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the phrase sounds familiar, doesn't it? And we're going to see here in a minute why. It should sound familiar because we love the prophecy and of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, what some call the gospel of Isaiah. And oh, the gospel is there. It's amazing. And we read this prophecy penned about Christ and his sufferings on the cross 700 years before he came to this earth. Prophecy of the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That verse we see Peter sharing in the previous verses 21 through 24. I believe. And then verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Notice that, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Peter, we read, for you were a sheep going astray. Now, where do you think Peter got that phrase? He knew his Bible. He knew Isaiah. And he's basically referencing, quoting from Isaiah. But anyway, you were a sheep going astray, but now have returned. You were going your own way, right? And I still have that in me. Do you? I still want to do my own thing. I don't want people telling me to do. There are some things that I don't want to obey because it makes me uncomfortable. I'd rather just kind of sit back and coast. But I can't do that. I'll go astray. I'm wandering when I do that. Sheep need a leader, and they have to have someone to lead them and tend to them, and they will gladly follow if they have a leader. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. You and I need a shepherd. And guess what? A shepherd. Exactly what you need has been given, and more, and more. But the question is, will you follow? Are you following him? Seriously. Can you say right now, if we were to have you come up here and tell us, could you say, yes, I am following Jesus Christ with all of my heart? If you can't say that, let's get to where we can, right? We're not where we need to be. They will gladly follow if they have a leader. You and I need a shepherd. A shepherd has been given. Will you be humbly and meekly led as a sheep? You see, without a shepherd, you're going to wander and go astray. When you don't follow God's word, when you don't obey the word of God, go your own way, you're a mess. You're headed for a train wreck in your life. You will go astray. You will fall into danger. And the dangerous cliffs and crannies and crevices and crooks of sin will eat you alive. Mark it down. And I know, you will fall prey to the vicious attacks of that wild animal known as Satan himself. We've gone astray, folks. We've gone our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God the Father put my sin upon Jesus Christ when he was nailed on that cross, bleeding for me. He bore the punishment of it all. And because of that, you and I have returned. We are able. He has made a way. He has reconciled us and made a way to God, to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He is my shepherd, the living shepherd, the risen shepherd, but he bore my sin to be my shepherd. Listen to some verses. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 81, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Ezekiel 34:23, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. That's talking about Jesus Christ, my servant David. Christ came from the loins of David, the line of David, the kingly line. And he became the king. He is the king. He is the shepherd. Matthew 9:36, but Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then John 10:1, Christ says that he is a door. He is the good shepherd. And then our verse in 1 Peter 2:25, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 49, if you're still in Isaiah, you can find it, but maybe you move from there. I should have told you to stay there. Isaiah 49, let's just look at some truths about our risen shepherd. Number one, my shepherd leads me. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And so on. And number two, Isaiah 40, verse 9. He gently leads me and carries me and feeds me. He gently leads me, carries me, and feeds me. Isaiah 49, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule before him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And then verse 11, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Think Jesus Christ. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know he's been doing that in your life. This past week, he has been feeding you, gathering you, carrying you, leading you. And you didn't even know it, right? If you're like me, you can go a long time and forget who you are and who you belong to. Shame on us. Wow. He gently leads, carries, feeds me. Number three, my shepherd died for me. In Matthew 26:31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended this night because of me, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. That goes back to the prophecy in Ezekiel, I believe it is, that we looked at, Ezekiel 13:7, prophesied that that would happen. And then it was fulfilled in Matthew 26:31. My shepherd died for me. God smote him. He was smitten by God and afflicted. And the sheep were scattered. The apostles forsook him and fled. Number four, he is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. John 10:10-11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Number five, he is a great shepherd, or he is the great risen shepherd. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace, and this is a good verse, you could turn there, but I'm going to read it before you get there. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the resurrection, our Lord Jesus, that what? That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, he is a great shepherd. He is the one that was brought again from the dead. That's why he's great. So he is a good shepherd that did that was so very good for us, and then he laid down his life. He is now the great shepherd in that he was brought again from the dead amazingly, miraculously. And it's a fact, it's true, it's authenticated by secular history that Jesus died on the cross and then they could not find his body after he died. And because he lives, he was able to offer the everlasting covenant to us through his shed blood. And then number six, he is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd who is coming again. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow. It's coming. And he is coming, and there's a crown of glory that he is going to give. Because my shepherd, this chief shepherd, this King of kings and Lord of lords lives, he is coming for me. See, it was for me. It was for you. He died for you. He's coming for you. It's all around you. Isn't that amazing? It just blows your brain away, you know? For me, he died. For me, he's coming. For me, he lives. Wow. For me will be a crown of glory. For you were sheep going astray, but now we return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Are you returned? Have you turned? Return is repentance, a turning. I was going this way, now I turn to go towards my Savior. Are you ever turning to him? He is a shepherd and bishop of your very soul. The only part of you that really matters, that which will live eternally somewhere. Bishop means guardian, overseer. He is the overseer, the guardian of your soul. The guardian of your very soul, the inner you. He is the keeper, the one who has oversight of your very soul. What's going to happen to your soul when you die? You ever think about that? We need to. I don't care if you're 15 years old, 55, or 85. We ought to be thinking about it all the time. I think about it more and more these days, much more than I did when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s and even 50s. What will happen when you die? Some foolishly think that they will somehow magically on a wish and a whim get their soul to heaven or somewhere. You know, some people just think if they think good thoughts, then it will turn out good. They play in the glad game. That's called being Pollyanna-ish. You know, she plays like Pollyanna. Or if they just play Pollyanna's glad game, all will be okay. Well, I just think glad thoughts. You've seen the movie, the Walt Disney movie, Pollyanna, or read the book maybe. Well, that's true to a point. We ought to think glad, happy, positive thoughts. But it won't get you to heaven. Thinking glad thoughts not going to get you out of hell. Oh, by the way, it's in the news in the last few days. The Pope, St. Francis, says there is no hell after all. And he went against 1,500 years or whatever of Roman Catholic teaching. So it's caused quite a stir. Now the Catholic Church is coming out saying, no, he didn't say that. He was misquoted. And there's a big stir about that. Well, I don't know if he said it or not. But if he did, this is reportedly what the Pope said a couple days ago of bad souls. What happens to bad souls? He says, they are not punished. Those who repent obtain the forgiveness of God and enter the ranks of souls who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. So that's pretty convenient. That's quite a way to do it way with hell. They just disappear. They just vanish, you know. I think maybe he said that because he may be headed there. I don't know. You know, a lot of false teaching going on there that Mary is sinless and Mary is the mother queen of heaven and so many false teachings but there is a hell. There is a hell. Now, whether he said that or not, I don't know, but it makes for a good illustration. But we need to follow the shepherd. Now, there is a hell. There is a hell. And my soul will live forever in heaven or hell. My body will be reunited with my soul to live forever in heaven or hell. We need to follow this shepherd now. Right now. Because tomorrow is too late. Tomorrow is too late. Tomorrow never, never comes. Because the tomorrow we talked about, well, I forget that. Anyway, tomorrow will become today. Tomorrow, And today will be the tomorrow we talked about yesterday. But if you don't follow and obey him and honor him now, you never will. If you won't do it now, you never will. Because whatever is keeping you from following this risen, exalted, all-powerful shepherd Savior now is going to keep you from him tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and then the next week and then the next month and then the next year and then the next decade, and then you will die and you will be ushered into eternity. See, long time ago you were going to make changes in your life, but it hasn't happened, has it? Well, you know, I want to. I thought about it. You are determined to get victory over your sin, over your lust, over your attitude, and anger, or whatever, and it hasn't happened yet. Here we are. Still hasn't happened. When is it? When are you going to turn? When will you return? To follow the risen shepherd of your soul is to do what he says, and to do what he says, I need to know what he says, and how will I ever know what he says unless I read his word? Are you? Will you? Are you one of his sheep? Will you follow him? Will you give your all to him? I close with John 10, 26 and following. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Have you been given eternal life? Will you receive the life of the Son of God today? I pray you will, because tomorrow seems to always disappear. It never comes. Today, if you will hear his voice, today is a day of salvation. Will you come to him? Will you get things right with him, Christian? We're going to pray, and then we'll have an invitation, and we welcome you to come and pray here at the front. I'd be glad to pray with you, or someone would be glad to go with you in another room and pray with you. But let's stand together and turn to number 85, hymn number 85. And may God work in our hearts and have his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on us as we close. May we just give ourselves totally to you, Lord. Have your way. May our lives bring glory and honor and to you, and blessing and help to others, Lord, as we live in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.